הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
I've got a message for you today that we're going to be talking about something that's probably most people, even people who've been a long time in the faith, don't really talk about or know that much about. It's a little more obscure, although it's right there. But it's very important. It has some ramifications and implications for our lives. And I think it's kind of a cool thing, too, that we're in the season we're in right now. I told you that we're in a special season. So I'll say to all of you, Shana Tova. Shana Tova. What in the world? Hold on. Is Rabbi Meshugana? I guess we'll find out. What are we talking about here? Well, this is a special Shabbat. This Shabbat in particular, and that it is the last Shabbat of the year. What? What? What's he talking about? And it's the Shabbat that immediately precedes the month of Nisan in the Scripture. In fact, this Shabbat is one of the special of the, one of the four kind of grouped special Shabbats. This one is called Shabbat HaChodesh, and that means the Shabbat of the month, if you will. Chodesh means month. And on the Shabbat, in fact, there is an additional Torah reading from Exodus chapter 20 that I'm going to be going through just a little bit. An additional Haftarah reading from the book of Ezekiel, which we're also going to touch on. So within these, we see a pattern that can really help us in our daily lives. So what I want to present to you today, and what we're going to be building through the Scriptures, through His Word, and through what He tells us and reveals to us through His Word, is a building of a principle that we see in Scripture that has a lot of implications for us if we put God's principles into action. You know, if we put God's principles into action, our lives are better. Amen? We apply this stuff. You got to apply this stuff. This book is not just for like Shakespeare or something and is you know, good for your mind. And no, I mean, this is good for your spirit, y'all. And we need to be applying these things in our lives. Okay, let me reveal. First, by way of brief background, if you know anything about Judaism, there are, and we're going to be kind of going through a little history and a teaching also as part of this. There are multiple New Years in Judaism, okay? You need to understand that. I mean, traditionally there are four, and that's plus the Gregorian New Year. So, man, yeah, it's almost any time of year you can say Happy New Year. You got a shot at being close, you know? And so it's interesting. The most prominent, of course, that you hear a lot about is Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, which literally means head of the year. Shana means year, head of the year. And that's where you traditionally hear it said Shana Tova, which I greeted you with a little bit earlier, which means basically Happy New Year, or literally a good year. So I wished you a Happy New Year, and we're here in the beginning of April and not near Rosh Hashanah. And some of you thought, wow, Rabbi, boy, he's losing it. Somebody, we need to pray for him. Well, I do need prayer, but not for that reason in particular. Okay, so Rosh Hashanah, which we are familiar with, which is, of course, the biblical Yom Teruah, which we read about in Scriptures, and then the second one that's most prominent is the first of Nisan. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Now, some say, oh, Rosh Hashanah, and usually September, October, September, some people say, oh, it's, and of course we know biblically it is Yom Teruah, the day of the trumpets, the day of loud noises. It doesn't say in scripture Rosh Hashanah, it says Yom Teruah. And some people say, oh, Rosh Hashanah has no biblical basis of being a new year. But that's not exactly true. We can talk about, I've spoken about that years in the past. There is a biblical basis for this being a new year. However, unquestionably, the most clear spiritual new year is defined in scriptures as the first of Nisan, the first of Nisan. That's now, that's coming up here. That's very unquestionably crystal clear, our spiritual new year that we have that's defined in scripture unequivocally is the first of Nisan. You can preview, you can turn ahead in Exodus 20. We'll get to that in just a minute. But the first of Nisan is this year, of course it changes year to year, that is sundown this coming Monday night. So that is your most prominent biblical new year, is it's coming up. I don't know what you're planning for New Year's, okay? But it's coming up Monday night to Tuesday night. Remember, it's sundown Monday night to sundown Tuesday night. As a side note, by the way, you can celebrate this Tuesday, the biblical new year, by coming to scripture study on Tuesday night. We have a visiting rabbi, Rabbi David Levitt. He's a good guy, did a wonderful job last week. It's going to be a great series to teach the next two Tuesdays, because it's still the first of Nisan until sundown on Tuesday. So it's still New Year's Day until sundown on Tuesday, which doesn't happen until right after Bible study. So come Tuesday night scripture study and you can celebrate the new year in style. And of course, bring your rabbi a gift, which is very traditional. It's not. So what is this Shabbat HaChodesh? Okay, well, the Shabbat that is immediately preceding the first of Nisan is always called Shabbat HaChodesh, or if it's actually on the first of Nisan, okay? Because on this Shabbat, the readings that we have, we heard Steve read from Leviticus. Our readings for this Shabbat, because it's the last Shabbat of the year, and it's the Shabbat that immediately precedes the new year on Nisan 1, are enhanced and supplemented to read about what happens on the first of Nisan. Why? Well, pretty simply, because we need to be prepared to know about it and to do it and to understand it. So, if you will, again, as we go through the parashot each week, the readings we have each week, for an unusual case here in the first of, right before the first of Nisan, the Shabbat, we actually go back to an Exodus, an older portion that we've had in our readings, to kind of review it because we're exactly at that time of year. Does all that make sense? Wow, that's really sad. Okay, if it doesn't make sense, let me see. Just watch it on the video. Okay. It's understood that the special Torah portion was given to Moses that we're going to be reading from Exodus chapter 20. The portion, that which God communicates to Moses that we read about in Exodus 20, was given to Moses on or before the first of Nisan. This will probably make more sense when we read it in the scripture. So let's go ahead and take a look at the beginning of Exodus chapter 20. The portion, the extra portion for today is really more than half the chapter of Exodus chapter 20, which all talks all about Passover and the Passover regulations, which we have coming up very soon. But it starts off in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, which says this. Now Adonai spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month will mark the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Very, very interesting. Okay, the month of Nisan, the month that we're just about to go into, on the Hebrew calendar, we're talking about Monday night. Monday night is when the first of Nisan is. God says, which is before Passover here, God says uniquely, and he makes it crystal clear. He says it in two different ways. He says, this month is the beginning of months for you. It's to be the first month of the year for you. Okay, so it's New Year's. There's no other way of looking at it. Unequivocally, scripturally, we're talking about New Year's is coming up here. But what's interesting to me is I don't completely understand it, Damien, because when I initially thought about it and when I just contemplate it and I think about New Year's Day, New Year's is a big deal. New Year's Day is a big deal, no question. And I would just, in my own earthly mind, in my human a cupping here, okay? So in my earthly mind, my fleshly mind, thinking about it on my own terms, I would assume that if God is setting the calendar, which he clearly did there, he established real clearly to the Israelites, this is considered the first commandment to the whole nation of Israel in this way, moving forward. Okay, and so clearly God's the one who's deciding this. If God is setting the calendar, it seems like to me he would have made the first day of the first month one of the big holidays. It just kind of makes sense to me that that's what he would have done. In other words, for example, I mean, Passover is coming up. I mean, we know the Passover, the evening of the 14th, so it's basically the 15th of Nisan. Okay, it's coming. Why not just make Passover start on the 1st? Why isn't Passover New Year's, if you will? That just kind of makes sense to me, or some other really, really significant holiday, make it on New Year's. I mean, otherwise, why are you making this New Year's and not having one of the big holidays associated with it? I didn't quite understand it. Well, let's look at the next few verses, because we're going to get some clues as to why God is smarter than me. By a lot. Okay. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. So he continues. So he had told them, okay, Nisan, this month is the first of all months for you. Then he says, verse 3, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one lamb for the household. Okay, so then on the 10th, first there's this holiday, it's New Year's, but on the 10th, then you take a lamb, and then skip down to verse 6, you must watch over that lamb until the 14th day of the same month. Okay, so you get the lamb on the 10th, you watch over it until the 14th, so you're watching this special, special lamb for 4 days. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. They are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the crossbeam of the houses where they will eat it. Okay, hold on. Now I know about this. I've been to enough Passover Seders. So you see, the lamb is slaughtered, and then they put the blood on the door frames of the houses. Why? We know, but so that the angel of death passes. Okay, so that's, they do that the evening of the 14th, the day of the 14th, or coming into the 15th. Skip all the way down to verse 18. And then we see he's instituting Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, verse 18. During the first month, in the evening of the 14th day of the month, you are to eat matzah until the evening of the 21st day of the month. Okay, so here it is. This is Passover. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread here. This is the Passover story. This is the Passover plan. You all know about this. If you don't, I think there's a handful of tickets left. There's not that many. But come to our Passover Seder, or have a Passover Seder in your homes, or read the book of Exodus. You can learn all about the Passover story. Okay, but most of you know it. You've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. I love that movie. That movie is, man, that's the real deal. I just don't know. When I get to heaven, I'm going to meet Moses. I'm going to say, not quite Charlton Heston. I don't know. I'm sure he'll look at me and, no. I don't think I'll say it to his face. Okay. in any case, this is the timing. This is the plan. We know the story of Passover. But honestly, as I think about it again in my earthly and fleshly mind, the timing is a little strange to me. The timing is strange. The first day of Nisan is the new year. Okay, so what's coming up here this Monday night and Tuesday, right? It's the new year. God established. It's the new year. It is a new year that God himself established. However, in the new year, we are still slaves. We're still in slavery. It seems a little strange to me that he could have chosen any time he wanted for it to be the new year. Happy New Year. And so God says, Happy New Year. Yes, you're still slave. Why didn't you make the new year when Passover happened? That would have made sense to me. It's a new year. We're now freed. That makes sense to me. See, we didn't actually leave Egypt until the 15th of Nisan. 15th of Nisan. God could have set it up any way he wanted. Why didn't he make the 1st of Nisan, which is the new year, the date that the children of Israel were released from slavery? That would have made sense to me. It's the new year. We're a new people. We're now newly free. We're leaving Egypt. This marks the new year. This is the new year. This is the beginning of months. This is the new year. Mark it. This makes sense. But God didn't do it this way. There must be some kind of a message within this and a message in his timing. And there is. And the lesson has both global ramifications as well as personal meaning to each of us. I want to pivot for just a second. We're going to come back to this. Friends, we know that our Messiah, Yeshua, is coming back. We know that he came and he lived on this planet and he came as the suffering servant, the Messiah who came to set us free spiritually, but there would be a time when he would come to set us free physically. Okay, we know this. Messiah Yeshua is coming back. And by the way, next time, it's not going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger. We know that the date of our deliverance is coming. And furthermore, we know that he's coming back soon. Exactly when, we don't know. But his return is assured. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Very interesting parallels we see here. Matthew chapter 24. Let's examine the scriptures. Matthew 24, as you know, wow, that's talking a lot about the end days and about the timing of Yeshua's return to here on earth. Matthew 24 is known for that. Let's hear what Messiah Yeshua says. Matthew 24, verse 3, makes me want to be in Israel. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, which is just right there in Jerusalem, overlooking the Temple Mount, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will happen. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So the disciples were asking Yeshua, okay, We're starting to get this some, but when are you going to return? When are you going to come back? They're asking him this question, a question that all of us want to know too, right? Exactly. You know, when is he coming back? When is Yeshua returning? All of us would love to know. Makes it a legitimate question. Yeshua then proceeds to give like many signs. He's like, oh, so you want to know, huh? Okay. And man, I'm telling you what, the chapter is chock full of brutal, hard stuff. He talks about signs that his return is soon, and the signs build in intensity. And most of the signs are severe, building to horrific times in the world, which makes sense. The Messiah would have to come back when things were just horrible. Okay, by the way, have you watched the news lately? Okay. He talks about false prophets. He talks about great destructions. He gives instructions on how to conduct ourselves while we wait. This is very important. And finally, he concludes in verse 29, Matthew 24, 29. And Yeshua says, but immediately after the trouble of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Whoo, man, I get chills. George, I get chills when I read that. Man, I have chills right now. This is intense. Eschatologically, what exactly is Yeshua doing? What exactly is it that Yeshua is doing in telling us all of these things, friends? What he's doing is he is preparing us. He is preparing us. Beloved, deliverance did not come on New Year's Day, the first of Nisan. But beloved, deliverance was coming. And this deliverance was told to us in advance. We just read it in Exodus 20. So that we could prepare. We could prepare because the deliverance was on its way. It wasn't there yet, but it was coming. See, my friends, Yeshua, in a parallel way, Yeshua has not returned. Yeshua has still not returned, friends. It's been 2,000 years. Do you know how many generations long to see the end days, to see when all these things started to happen? We've seen them more and more and more. We're seeing the signs of the times in Matthew chapter 24. And it should hasten us to prepare and get ready for his return. Someone say amen. When exactly will it be? I don't know. But I know it's not far off. Does that mean tomorrow? Does that mean next year? Does that mean in 10 years? I don't know. Does that mean in my lifetime? Listen, there's a lot of interpretations and understandings of eschatology. We know that throughout the centuries, as things have progressed and throughout the decades, people more and more think, wow, it could be any time now, more and more. And I believe that. But we're still here at this point. What does that mean? Obviously, he hasn't come yet. But friends, you can see things lining up just as the scripture says. You can see it even in the news if you're watching today. You see these things more and more happening that parallel and are along with Matthew 24. So when will it be? I don't know, but I know it's soon. So we have to get ready. You see, Yeshua is preparing us for this. In the very next chapter, in Matthew chapter 25, Yeshua gives the parable of the 10 brides to be. 10 brides to be that are waiting for the groom. You know, back in those days, a Jewish wedding was a bit different. You didn't send out invitations way ahead of time, and you had to RSVP and all that kind of stuff. No, what happened was is that after the betrothal, the engagement, then the groom would come for his bride at a time that she didn't know when he was coming. That's how it worked. And suddenly he would show up and take his bride away. And she wasn't exactly sure when that moment would be, but she had to be ready for him. in the parable Yeshua gives in Matthew 25, talking about his own return, is that there are 10, the parable is there are 10 brides-to-be, and they need the oil lamps to be able to see, to go meet her groom when he comes. However, Yeshua comes, he returns, and only 5 of the brides-to-be were ready for him. Only 5 were prepared. Only 5 had oil for their lamps. The other 5 said, we need oil for the lamps. We don't know how to get out here. Give us some oil or something. The 5 with the oil said, sorry, I only have enough to get to the guy. And they said, we'll go buy it. And boom, he was gone. This is how he said it will be. This is like the kingdom of God. In other words, we have to be prepared because we don't know when our Messiah comes. We have to be ready. That means preparation. Friends, we can't be spiritual procrastinators. Ooh, man, some of you said, ooh, I don't like that word. Ooh, procrastinators. Some of you have procrastinated. Some of you are procrastinators by nature. I know the type. I used to be a procrastinator big time back when I was before college. Georgia Tech cured me of procrastination. I promise you that is honest truth. I was such a big procrastinator in high school and be like, yeah, I'd crack a book like a minute before the test or something, glance through it, and okay, let me take the test. Georgia Tech, man, you know, you're taking calculus and stuff like that. You can't literally wait till the last minute. If you do that, you're not going to make it out. Tech cured me of procrastination. Okay, fair enough. But a lot of people in life are procrastinators. They wait till the last minute for everything. Don't wait till the last minute. But a lot of people do that spiritually too. Yeah, I know I need to get with God. Yeah, I know. No, I know I need to get my spiritual life together. Yeah, I know. No, I know. I know I need to clean up that area in my life. Yeah. I know. I'll get to it eventually. That means, friends, to first make sure that our hearts are in the right place. If we're really preparing, make sure your heart is in the right place to make sure that we're in a state of repentance and receiving of forgiveness. We have to be cleansed. We can't hold on to 35% of this fleshly stuff that we're just resisting to let go of. We know that we need to, but we've just been holding on. No, you got to release that. And secondly, in addition to or for ourselves, we need to see to it that we share the good news with others so that they too can experience God's love and forgiveness through the Messiah. You see, knowing that he's coming and knowing that New Year's is coming, so to speak, knowing that Passover is coming allows us the opportunity to prepare. We have the opportunity to prepare. And like I said, it's not just about us. It's about preparing the bride of Messiah so that when our groom, Yeshua, comes to receive the body of Messiah, as described in the scriptures as his bride, to come and take his bride, that his bride is ready for him. But that means we got to be telling other people about Messiah as well. Think about what we read in Exodus chapter 20. It tells us that Nisan is chosen as the first month. Why? Because it is the month of our deliverance. That's what it says. It's chosen as the first month. It wasn't just a random choice or just because that was the common calendar of the day. No. God specifically chose the month of Nisan because it was the month of our deliverance. In fact, there's some Jewish scholars that look at the way that that's put, and they believe that it implies that the whole month of Nisan is considered deliverance days because it is the month of our deliverance, as scripture says. Okay, so just that tells us that the first of Nisan is special. It's special. We're getting ready for our deliverance. We're getting ready. We are preparing for our deliverance. So the first of Nisan is a special day in the biblical year, the biblical new year. Why? Because we're preparing for our deliverance, which is coming. Then on the 10th of Nisan, we talked about it a little bit earlier, we get the lamb. And that takes preparation because you got to choose a lamb that's without blemish, without defect. So you got to check all your flocks. You got to do your work. You got to go find the right lamb. On the 10th of Nisan, we have to prepare by getting the lamb. Then on the 14th, it is sacrificed, and we put the blood on the door frame. That takes action. That takes preparation. Then finally, underlined on the 15th of Nisan, the angel of death passes over us, and we are set free. You see, friends, it's step by step, preparing for the deliverance that is coming. Preparing for the deliverance that is coming. We have to prepare now, well before the deliverance has come. Trusting and knowing the deliverance is coming. But we have to prepare now for it. And this is also connected beautifully to the Haftarah portion for the Shabbat. Ezekiel chapter 45, please. I told you there's the extra Torah portion, that's Exodus 20, as we prepare for Passover and as we prepare for the first of Nisan. But also there's an extra Haftarah portion, which is in Ezekiel chapter 45 in part. And so let's read Ezekiel 45, verse 18. It says, "Thus says Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, in the first month, in the first day of the month," that's the first of Nisan coming up this Monday night, "take a young bull without blemish and purify the sanctuary. The Kohen or the priest will take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the doorposts of the house and upon the four corners of the ledge of the altar and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. So you will do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who sins unintentionally or through ignorance. So you will make atonement for the house." Very interesting. So following along with the understanding of the biblical times and the things that God commands us to do, we see here that once we had the tabernacle in the temple, on the first of Nisan, New Year's Day, that we've been talking about this whole time, they were actually supposed to make additional special sacrifices. And then on the seventh of Nisan, even more as well. Why? Why do we make these extra sacrifices on New Year's Day and then on the seventh day? This is before, of course, the 10th and the 14th. And the 15th, so much is going on in Nisan. Why do we make these sacrifices? It tells us in Ezekiel to purify the tabernacle itself and to ask for forgiveness for things done unintentionally. Okay, what does that tell us? What are we seeing here? Are you getting part of the message that God is trying to communicate to us through this special month? We're seeing God telling us to get ready or to prepare for Passover. Passover's coming up, 14th and 15th. Passover's coming up in just a couple weeks. So before Passover comes, you got to prepare your heart to receive what's coming for you, your deliverance. Prepare for what God has for you, to be in a spiritual state that is ready to receive the deliverance that God has prepared for you, even whilst you are currently still a slave. This is a pattern. We need to be preparing our hearts. That's what this is about. That's why God just doesn't lay it all on Nisan 1, and that's the day that we get out of Egypt. No, it's not till the 15th till we walk out of Egypt. There's reasons for this. Step after step, sign after sign, and the scriptures tell us that we need to be preparing. That's what the first really couple of weeks of the month of Nisan are for. And this is why Shabbat HaChodesh is so important. It's the Shabbat that immediately precedes the new year. That's the Shabbat that we're in right now. It's the last one of the year. It immediately precedes the new year, which is this year. It happens to be a Monday night to Tuesday night is New Year's Day, is the first of Nisan. Why? Because why do we have this special Shabbat here today? Because we need to be preparing ourselves for what God has for us next. God has something special, beautiful, wonderful coming up for us next. But we need to be preparing for that which God has for us next. See, relating this on a global level, we see that in the coming of the Messiah. We need to be preparing our hearts for his coming, but also on a personal level within our own lives, friends. We have to recognize that we may know that deliverance is coming well before it actually comes. God told the children of Israel, if you read Exodus 20, before even the first of Nisan, when he established that as the month of deliverance, he told them what he was going to be doing. He told them about the Passover lamb, and he told them about the 10th of Nisan and the 14th and the blood on the... He told them what was going to be happening here. He told them deliverance was coming. He said it was the month of deliverance. But in the meantime, we have to... Oh, here it is. This is where the tire hits the road. This is where the tire hits the road in our spiritual walks, where we can't be spiritual infants, where we have to be spiritual meat eaters and not be spiritual milk eaters only, okay? Here it is. We have to prepare ourselves for this deliverance while we are still slaves in Egypt. And you're still going to be a slave tomorrow in Egypt too. Do you see my point? How long? I don't know. That's kind of the point, isn't it? We have to prepare ourselves before the Messiah returns. Deliverance is coming. Passover is coming. We're going to get out of Egypt. You're going to get out of Egypt. But you got to be preparing for what the Lord has for you in the meantime while you're still a slave. How long is it going to be? Well, might be a couple weeks. Well, in the case of Messiah, it might be 2,000 years. Oh, thanks, Rabbi. 2,000 years. I was hoping for, you know, maybe like tomorrow. For that which I have in my life, I'm really kind of was hoping just for tomorrow. See, we have to prepare ourselves before we get the new job. We have to prepare ourselves before the relationship is restored. Before we retire, before we hear the answer to our prayers, which, by the way, might be no. We have to prepare ourselves. Rabbi David Levitt, who spoke this past Tuesday, was teaching on enduring and enduring endurance. And he's going to expound on this the next two Tuesdays. I think it's so essential that sometimes we have to endure. Because the truth is that oftentimes in our lives, we have to wait. We have to wait for that which we really want. Friends, oftentimes we have to wait. But what do we do in the waiting? We must prepare. If we don't prepare ourselves, ooh, friends, listen to this. See, if we're like in a pity party where it's just like, oh, I'm a slave and deliverance may be coming one day, but I'm never going to make it out of here. And oh boy, there's Moses, and yet he, after the ninth plague, still we didn't get let go, and we thought we were going to let go, and we had a false start, and Pharaoh said we could go, then he took it back again, and oh, we're never going to get out of here, never, never, never. It reminds me of Sesame Street thing that the guy on the piano just hits his head on the piano, never, we're never going to make it, bling, he hits his head. Golly, you know, if that's you, you're not preparing. You're not preparing. No, 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 friends. If we don't prepare ourselves, then we may just be postponing the deliverance to a later time once we've already learned the lesson. Oh, Rabbi, I wish I wasn't here to have heard that. I want to say it again. If we're not preparing with the right attitude, Lord, I know you're going to bring deliverance in your time. I trust in you, Lord. I don't care what the situation looks like. I don't care if I'm still in slavery right now. And it's one meal a day, and then I'm scraping by, and it's the worst situation, and the worst thing that's going on right now, and it's the worst condition, and nothing's going right. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference, because I trust in you, that Lord, you're going to deliver me out of this one day. When's that day? I don't know. I might be tomorrow. If so, praise God. If it's 2,000 years from now, praise God. See, you're preparing your heart for the Lord to do something, as opposed to always kind of with a spirit of mope. You know, where, well, you know what? God may say, this person is not getting it. We're going to delay this. We're going to delay this deliverance. They're not ready for it. Don't do that. Prepare yourself for what the Lord has for you. Or worse, if we become embittered and angry, we may lose the blessing altogether. Well, God, you never, I'm just tired of being in this situation. You're going to lose your blood. Don't lose your blessing. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. Many of you have been going through something in your own life. Each of us goes through different things in our lives. Y'all, everybody goes through something. You all look great here today, most of you. You all look great. You all look great. So I should talk. I understand. You all look great here today. But that doesn't reveal anything about what's going on inside of you. Okay? Many people are going through something in your own life, and if not, you will. And when you're in that challenging place, stay pure, stay faithful, stay trusting in God. Prepare, knowing what is to come. And remember the date. Remember the date. Like today, it may be the Shabbat before the first of Nisan. You may still have some more time in bondage and slavery. Wow, what an encouraging, uplifting word, Rabbi Kevin. Listen, I deal in the reality of it. Otherwise, people who preach nothing but mountaintop to mountaintop, roses to roses, are preaching a very shallow message, because that's not how it really works. God says in this world, we will have tribulation, but rejoice, because I've overcome the world. We're going to have tribulation. That shouldn't be what gets you down. If you prepare your hearts, make the appropriate sacrifices, as God talked about, remember, the first of Nisan, the seventh of Nisan, the 14th of Nisan. Keep your heart turned toward God and His commandments. Then, friends, you will eventually make it to Passover. You will eventually, oh, thank you, Lord. You will eventually make it to Passover. And knowing this, see, if you really get this, what that requires is you trusting in that spiritual principle. You got to really believe it, that God's going to do it. If you do, then your heart doesn't need to be troubled. Your heart doesn't need to be troubled, because guess what? Messiah also prepares things. And prepares things for us. John chapter 14, as we prepare to close. John 14, as we're getting ready to close. Be encouraged by this, beloved. Let it sink deeply into your spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. John chapter 14. What does our Moshiach, our Messiah himself, tell you? This is what he says, verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Other translations say mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? To do what? He's going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be. He's coming back. The title of my message is Shabbat HaChodesh, Prepare. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you, then I want to give you an opportunity straight from heaven. If you're here and you've never given your life to God, but you'd like to, raise your hand and we'll have a simple prayer. If that's you and you've never said yes to Messiah, but you want to, it's a simple prayer. I'll lead you in it. If that's you, lift your hand. If you're watching online or listening to the podcast and you've never said that simple prayer, repeat this simple prayer to God after me, and the Lord will touch you and change you and transform you. Say, dear God, I humble myself before you. I ask Yeshua to come into my heart. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God. See, if you said that prayer, the Lord changes you. The Lord changes you, and you're considered part of the bride of Messiah. You're part of the body of Messiah, that he will come for his bride one day, yourself included, and your spirit is renewed and alive. If you said that prayer for the first time, if you're here in this room, see me after the service. I want to celebrate with you. It's a transformation. If you're watching online or listening to the podcast, please send us an email. We want to rejoice with you. Lord, I want to thank you for everybody who's here today, everybody watching, listening. Lord, I pray that you help us prepare. And Lord, part of the preparation is not losing hope. Part of the preparation is getting ready. Part of the preparation is not becoming embittered or so down or depressed or hopeless or frustrated. Why? Because we trust in you. We know that it may be before Nisan 1 today. Nisan 1 is coming up. It's New Year, but the Exodus is coming. Passover is coming. Exactly when it is for you and your situation, I don't know. Yeshua has tarried a long time. 2,000 years, a long time, but he's coming. We see it. We see the signs coming. We have to trust. We have to not give up hope. We have to stay encouraged and uplifted and not depend and rely on the circumstances that we're in. Why? Because we're still slaves. We're still slaves before Nisan 15. Freedom is coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this, Lord. Let this word encourage us, God. Let it encourage us, Lord, to persevere and to endure, like Rabbi David was talking about, through hard situations and through good situations. Why? Because we trust in you and we know. Thank you, Lord, for setting up the calendar as it is to teach us lessons, Lord. And Happy New Year to you, our Heavenly Father. I thank you for these things in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.